I'm Ryan Dombrowski.
I'm the Ninja Fat Man from Doom Ninja Podcast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopX Cast.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome, everyone. This is PopX Cast coming to you live. And no, it's not February, what you see in the actual ad here on it. But it was Super Bowl weekend. So we figured we would get Team PopX a week or a day off, if you will. So we're recording this tonight on February the 8th, 2017. And joining us here, this is episode number 47 coming to you, and this is going to be a fun one. It's going to be a very retro nostalgic show. So if you're into 80s nostalgia, 80s retro, you might just enjoy tonight's show. So we're going to have the whole Team PopX is going to be here. We're going to have Lindsay on. We're going to have Mike on. And Austin Burke, it's good to have you back, dude.
It's good to be back after my terrible series of unfortunate events with technical difficulties. But everything's good now, Joe.
Okay. We've missed you, obviously, and I know the past couple of weeks have been very trying on you, trying to get this resolved. And I'm glad that our amazing tech team over at Apple was able to get you fixed up and get you
finally.
Yes.
Finally, man. Finally. After weeks.
Oh, man, I bet it feels good to be back in the saddle, though, right?
Oh, it does, dude. Listen, I'm here. I'm ready to go. I'm fingers crossed, never going to miss again, but that'll probably happen. So.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. We were talking before the show that it was kind of like the curse of PopX. I don't want to say anything.
It's been so bad.
It started with me, with my internet connection. Mm-hmm. And as you guys know, for the past month, I've been like cutting out right in the middle of the show. And I'm like, what the heck? So we finally got it all ironed out and sorted out. And so this past weekend was Super Bowl weekend. Mm-hmm. And so, Austin, were you rooting for anyone in particular?
Well, let's just say I wasn't rooting for the Patriots. But guess who won, Joe? The Patriots! It's great. Look, we're both Steelers fans. We understand the pain.
Yes.
You have to respect Tom Brady for how good the guy is. I know this is PopX Cast, but can we talk about that comeback? As much as I hated it,
It was pretty epic. He pretty much defied anybody that said anything negative about him ever.
Ever.
And I'm not a Patriots fan. Like you said, I'm a huge Steelers fan. I've been a Steelers fan since I was a child. And my family's family has been Steelers fans. But anyway, I enjoyed it. Before we go into the actual show itself, what was your favorite commercial from PopX 51? Super Bowl 51.
Are we talking strictly commercials, or can we do trailers too?
Well, trailers are considered commercials during Super Bowl. So
I know we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, but I'm just going to say Stranger Things.
We'll stop right there.
Yeah.
It was actually, that would be my number one.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, hey guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We would like to welcome everyone joining us live here on PopX.live and Geeks.live, and especially over in the chat room on our YouTube live channel. What's up, Mr. Michael Murray? And come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. If you missed last week's episode 46, like I did, PopX Cast celebrated their first year, and they looked back at everything great about PopX Cast.
Of course, check out. He wasn't there.
Nope, I wasn't there. I listened to it, though. It was fun. I missed out on a lot of good things. Check our official website at popxcast.com for this and other great past shows from PopX. Also, be sure to head over to Google Play and or iTunes. Click that subscribe button and catch up on some amazing shows from PopX Archive, like I did last week. While you're there, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We certainly appreciate it. What's up, Joe? How
you doing, man? Look how red my face is. You got me rolling over here, dude.
I can't help
all
it, man.
Right. With all of that, let's go ahead and go into the news. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
Oh, shoot. Really, Mike? He's not even moving. Anyway, Lord have mercy. Everybody's thinking, Lord have mercy. What's going on with PopX tonight? Oh, shoot. All right, let's. All right, anyway.
We're okay.
Moving along here. All right, so we're going to get the depressing news and the sad stuff out of the way. Looks like 2017 is, you know, it's going to happen people that we know and love and have favored over the years. We heard this past week, just a couple of days ago, that actor Richard Hatch, who was known for his amazing role as Captain Apollo in the TV series Battlestar Galactica, he did pass away on Tuesday. According to his manager, Michael Kaliski, Hatch died around 1:30 in Santa Clarita, California, and with his son Paul by his side. Now, Kaliski did say that the 71-year-old actor had been battling pancreatic cancer, according to a statement from his family. Can we just say screw cancer so much? I mean, I lost a personal friend of mine of 16 years just a couple of weeks ago from pancreatic cancer, someone that I've known from the Blue Man Group community for 16 years. And I just want to give a shout out to Mr. Andy Sir Pepsi Reynolds. He was with us in New York when we were there. And it's shocking. And pancreatic cancer has taken the lives of so many amazing actors and inspirators, inspiring individuals like, well, let's just say the Mr. Steve Jobs, for example.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. But all right. So Mr. Richard Hatch, he is now fighting battles in the other world. So just thank you so much for your many years of acting and service to the communities and just being an awesome actor.
And, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica is considered by many one of the greatest sci-fi television shows of all time.
It is.
And it's a phenomenal show. I've not watched a lot of it, but what he did in that show was great. And like we said last year, man, 2016 sucked. 2017, not off to a great start so far. And he's a guy who's really going to be missed in the acting community.
Before you go to the next one, though, we want to give a big shout-out to Mr. Zachary Blum hanging out with us. He's actually from the Blue Man Group community. He's hanging out with us over in the YouTube live chat.
Nice. That's awesome, man. Well, let's go from some really sad news to some news that won't pep us up any. Ben Affleck will no longer direct the Batman. He will remain on board as a star and executive producer of the film. There has been slight differences of opinion with the studio for some time, indicating that he was more concerned with perfecting the script before going forward. While the studio had concerns about hitting the release date, Affleck said, "Performing this role demands focus, passion, and the very best performance I can give. It has become clear that I cannot do both jobs to the level they require. Together with the studio, I have decided to find a partner in a director who will collaborate with me on this massive film. I am still in this, and we are making it, but we are currently looking for a director. I remain extremely committed to this project and look forward to bringing this to life for fans around the world." Joe, I'm going to give you my opinion on this real quick.
Go ahead.
A couple months ago, Ben Affleck said, and this isn't a direct quote, but he said, "If the script is not right, I will not direct the movie." Fast forward a few months, or maybe a few weeks after that, and there was some stuff going on between the studio and Ben Affleck, but he was denying all the rumors. Fast forward, I believe early January, he was on either Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, and it was at the main end of the show, and it was very obvious this was a tactic by Warner Brothers. He was like, "Are you directing Batman?" Ben Affleck said, "Yes, I'm directing Batman. All the rumors go away." The fact that he's not directing this movie, Joe, really scares me.
Yeah.
Because
there's some really bad stuff going on at that studio right now. Flash is being pushed. They're struggling on Justice League 2. And now this Batman thing, I'm scared for the future. If they find a phenomenal director that he can, you know, work with Ben Affleck and whatever. But the fact that he is not directing this movie really worries me. And this was the movie for me that was going to save this universe. Joe, what's your thoughts?
Well, it kind of reminds me of when what was Tim Burton. When Tim Burton actually handed off the first two original Batman, which is Batman and then Batman Returns, over to another director. His name is failing me.
Schumacher.
Schumacher. It was just you could tell that there was a difference in the ballpark. There was something different going on in the franchise. And obviously Tim Burton catered to the more serious, dramatic, dark side of Batman, whereas Schumacher catered to just campy, cheesy antics and goofy things that just really didn't seem to fly very well. With no disrespect to Jim Carrey's Riddler, how might I add, is one of the best actor portrayals ever.
For sure.
But I think, honestly, with Affleck stepping down or maybe being forced to step down, I don't know what's going on here. I'm concerned about the future of Batman. I'm concerned about the future of DC comic movies as they progress. It's nowhere near the level of what Marvel is doing cinematically. And the Russo brothers have just taken the Avengers, Infinity War, and Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War, and have made epic movies that are just astounding. But then you get into Ben Affleck, and you know Affleck is wanting to do Batman in the role right because he's falling in the footsteps of Michael Keaton and Christian Bale and all these other actors who's played Batman before. Adam West even falls into that category. Yeah. And it's just like he doesn't want to do it unless it's done right. And I understand that. So there's something in the mix. There's something that doesn't seem to jive very well. And yes, you hit the nail on the head. I'm a little cautious and concerned about
cautious. For sure.
Especially with The Flash, how they're trying to rush this out. Aquaman, they're trying to rush that out. And it seems like Justice League, they're just trying to push this out and get it in everybody's faces while Infinity War is coming out. So everybody, you know, they're just trying to see, this is Justice League. This is what we can do. And it's the storyline probably will be really horrible and lackluster.
I agree. I hope not, but I agree with you.
But anyway, moving on. So we hope that everything goes well at Warner Brothers.
With DC.
Judging by their track record, it sucks, but I'm just going to say. Yeah. On Monday, the BBC announced that the 10th season of Doctor Who will premiere on April the 15th on the BBC as well as BBC America. During an interview, the BBC's Radio Current doctor, Mr. Peter Capaldi, also made the announcement that season 10 will be his last and final, and he feels it's time to move on with his career. So he's only done, three seasons now?
Two seasons. And, so who's going to be the new doctor, Joe?
Well, it's been rumored for many years that a female is going to arise.
Hey, man, I am fine with that. That would be awesome.
So I'm kind of rooting for a female doctor. But yeah, dude. We'll just have to
change it up a little bit. Yeah. That would be really, really cool.
Absolutely.
Something else that's really cool, Marvel Studios is in full Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 mode at the moment, but fans are eager to see another of their upcoming properties get an official director. That would be the Brie Larson starring Captain Marvel, which doesn't release until 2019. Fans are eager to see another of their upcoming properties get a director. Who's the director going to be? Marvel previously said that they are intent on finding a female director for the project, but first they need a script that they can fully get behind. With Captain Marvel, there's so much potential in the comics, and there have been so many incarnations of her powers and the characters who've had the mantle that we've been focusing on, and that's exactly how we're going to tell her origin, says Kevin Feige. So, Joe, are you pushing for a female director, or are we just whoever is perfect for the script?
We actually did a podcast on this several episodes back, The Rise of Females in Pop Culture, and I am all about girl power, and you're just basically opening yourself up to a whole new audience that normally wouldn't be there. And I think having a female director with a female lead just makes sense because you, I mean,
they understand, especially if you get someone who's the girl that did Punisher Warzone. I know the movie wasn't great, but her directing style is great. If you get someone who understands and relates to the character, I think a female director is the right way to go.
And if you think about it, if it's not done right and properly, a male director can be, well, let's go back to the 90s of Marvel Comics and the sexist imagery that you've seen, you know, and there was actually been many articles posed about some of the images that Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld had drawn early on in the X-Men franchise. Can a woman really pose like that? And so they got an actress, put her in a bodysuit, and they see if she could actually pose and do some of the poses that they drew, and it's impossible. And so I think when you think about that mentality, having a female director behind the helm, it's going to be huge and it's going to be great. And I think Marvel Marvel just goes above and beyond anyway. So
they know, I think, and if Wonder Woman doesn't hit, I hope it will, but if Wonder Woman does not hit, this is the one, the game changer. Let's just hope Michael Bay doesn't direct the movie. Because he's not very good with the
anyway. In an interview, the Deadpool writers revealed that there may be more than one Deadpool sequel on the way.
Ooh.
In fact, they've got stories laid out for quite a few. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick were asked about the possibility of working Wolverine into Deadpool's story down the road. In the response, they revealed that they've got on the way. Yeah, it would be. And if you think about it, Reese explained, if you're looking at Deadpool 2, if you're looking at X-Force, if you're looking at Deadpool 3, there's not necessarily room for another team-up movie, quote unquote. I think it does create a real scheduling and universe issues about something that could be ironed out, but it would be needed to be ironed out. And that's what he's saying there. And Mr. Reese himself is talking to a reporter. And so basically everybody knows that Deadpool is on the way. We know we're probably going to get Cable to some extent, and the X-Force team up will basically be confirmed. But Deadpool 3, however, wasn't a certainty. So according to the interview, there's plans for 4 Deadpool cinematic movies over the next few years. So it looks like Mr. Ryan Reynolds will definitely be in the hot seat for quite some time.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And that picture that he put on Instagram with him and Hugh Jackman, something's happening.
Yeah.
You can't just tease these fanboys like that, man. Something's going down. So don't waste our time, Ryan.
I wouldn't be shocked if we didn't not only get a Stan Lee cameo in Logan, but if we got a Ryan Reynolds cameo in Deadpool. They're not going to confirm that anyway. They're going to let that be that in the moment when you see that 5-second clip of Deadpool walking in the background or something. You're gonna be like, oh, okay, I see what you did there.
I'm gonna lose my mind, Joe.
I may pee in my seat, but that's okay.
I just did. No. So Marvel hasn't wasted any time in getting its Cloak and Dagger series for Freeform off the ground, and it looks like their Hulu series Runaways won't be far behind it either. It was announced the two leads for Cloak and Dagger, and Olivia Holt and Aubrey Joseph will be the actors bringing Tandy Bowen and Tyron Johnson to life. Cloak and Dagger will start shooting on February 13th, 2017, also listed the start date for Hulu's Runaways project, and that series will surprisingly start on the same date because the cast has yet to be announced, and there isn't near as much known about Hulu's upcoming series. So, Joe, are you excited for these two shows?
I'm actually excited very much, and to kind of know that Hulu is falling along the bandwagon with Marvel Comics, and you know, just we've seen what's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. And all of that has Stranger Things. We've seen what that has done for Netflix. I mean, we're talking millions, maybe billions. I don't know. But I think it's going to be great. Cloak and Dagger has been a huge part of the Marvel universe for a long time. It's kind of a love story, if you will, but there's a lot of backstory and entanglement. And they've actually coincided many times with some of the big teams like Fantastic Four, X-Men, Avengers, New Mutants. There's many spinoffs of Cloak and Dagger, and I think this will be a great rejuvenation for Cloak and Dagger, and maybe even bring them back to the comics in a way, in a format in which they were originally meant to be. So I think it's going to be awesome. I have several Cloak and Dagger comics in my
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, the fact that the Runaways, I mean, these are children of supervillains, right? And and they run away because they find out that their parents are doing evil stuff. That is an idea that I've never really seen in a television show before, or really a movie format. So that is something that's going to be really fresh, and I think fans are going to love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely, man.
All right, so where are we at?
Let's see. Supergirl.
Yes, Supergirl.
Is it me?
I think it's you. Yeah, it's you. Is it you or me? Did you read Cloak and Dagger?
I think it's you. Did I? I think I did. Yes,
are
I did.
You sure?
It's you.
Are you sure?
Yes. I think so, maybe.
How about we get my did I? I don't know. I'm just messing with you. All right, so anyway. So that's what happens when you just sit back and just let the world just pass on. Not a care in the world. Babe. Just let it roll.
Anyway,
just like Supergirl and Riverdale. Which I have opinions about Riverdale. Oh my God.
Is it good?
No, it's Twilight. It's Twilight.
Oh.
It's Twilight meets.
No.
Dawson's Creek.
Oh, no.
It's bad. All right. So anyway, another comic book show executive produced by Greg Berlanti, which is Black Lightning, is reportedly eyeing a move from Fox to the CW. If the move were to take place, Black Lightning would presumably take place within the shared DC Universe multiverse of Supergirl, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow. So Black Lightning is actually one of these brand new, I don't want to say brand new, but he's been around in a while, but they're trying to find a way in which they can introduce him. And so it would be like this character would be like bringing Shazam or one of those kind of characters to the multiverse of, we kind of like to call it the Arrowverse, because Arrow kind of spawned, you know, Flash and Legends and all this. So so Black Lightning is interesting. Greg Berlanti, it would be interesting to have a fifth show, because that's what they're talking about.
That Friday slot, man. That's what they would do, I believe.
So he's right now currently on Fox. And if he was to make a switch, they're probably at some point going to have to introduce Black Lightning either on Flash or Arrow. And you remember watching Arrow when Barry Allen was
first came?
And you're like, oh my God. And then you saw him get struck by lightning and you're just like, is that the last time we see Flash? And then the next season, CW announces the Flash coming to CW. And you're like, oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think that's what they're going to do here, but we'll see where it goes.
Black Lightning is a character that I first saw in the Justice League animated series.
Oh, yeah.
He's a cool character, man. And the fact that he can get a show centered around him, how he got his powers, and how he can use his powers, I think the visual effects are going to be really cool in that show if CW can pull it off. So that's something that I'm definitely excited about. But, Joe, this next topic.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Let me drink some water while you're ready for this.
Take a gulp. Stranger Things Season 2 teaser was featured during the Super Bowl last weekend. It confirmed that our favorite ego-loving telepath, Eleven, will be returning. The show will continue to be packed full of retro goodness. It hints that we'll be seeing more of the Upside Down, but its vague flashes of the new Big Bad has left fans with even more questions. We'll have to wait until this fall to find out what's in store for Will and the rest of the Stranger Things crew. The new season drops this Halloween. There's not a more perfect time.
They're in Ghostbusters Halloween outfits. They're in Ghostbuster Halloween outfits.
Oh, Joe.
Can we just stop and look at this for a minute? Oh, my God. This is beautiful.
It's perfect.
This is a beautiful
just
thing.
Seeing these kids on screen again in a picture just gets my heart excited.
I mean, it makes me as giddy as a schoolgirl. but really, did you see that? Now, here's something that I've done many times. I've watched the trailer and then I got right up to the ending when the door opens and you see that big like walking thing on
what
the horizon. Dude, what the heck is that?
Is the Upside Down in the world? Like, it didn't look like the Upside Down. The sky looked like the Upside Down, but it looked like it was in the real world.
I don't know. It looked like a hand walking on the horizon. I don't know what the heck it was. It raises more questions than it actually answers, and I think it's just going to keep you wanting more.
I love it, man. And I'm so excited. Best thing during the Super Bowl, for sure.
It was freaking awesome. And yes. It blew my mind. And it reminds me, too, we had talked about it last week. Have you been watching a show on Netflix called The OA?
No, but I've heard so many good things about it.
All right, so me and Alex have been watching it, and we've got through episode 2, and there's only 8 episodes, so it ain't going to take you long.
That's perfect.
And so the OA is interesting, and it just got renewed for 2 seasons.
Mm.
So okay. Netflix renewed it, so it's doing so well, and they're comparing the OA with the science fiction and the storytelling with that of Stranger Things. Not the same, but kind of similar, but I'm not going to say too much about
that's
it.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah, I'll check it out for sure.
Now, speaking on trailers and speaking of Marvel and awesome things, the trailer for Netflix's Marvel series Iron Fist was released on Tuesday. Now, the last defender of Marvel Universe comes to Netflix March the 17th. It's just a few weeks away, Austin.
My heart. That is, oh, wow. I guess it is a few weeks away.
Yes,
no.
March the 17th, dude. You'll be in Orlando then.
I need to. Oh, yeah. I guess I will. Let's watch it together. Anyway. I mean, we'll set our women aside and we'll just watch on this for like 14 hours.
So Iron Fist, if you don't know, is a huge. He goes all the way back to the 60s, and he's in the realm of Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, Daredevil, and the Punisher. He's in that mindset. Lindsay Badger, what's up? And so Iron Fist is actually really awesome. A lot of people may know him as the guy with like the yellow bandana, and he's got the green suit on, you know, and he does the karate stuff and all that. Or it might not be karate. It might actually be like, you know, some kind of mastered foreign art. But I want to also say hello to Mr. Wagner live joining us right now from Parts Unknown in downtown Orlando.
Yeah.
What's up? What's Wagner? Up? How are you doing? Welcome to the show. So your thoughts on Iron Fist, Austin?
The one thing I was worried about was the visual effects for the hands. But you know what? The little glimpse that we got, Joe, it looks fantastic. And I'm just watching this trailer. I'm just imagining all 4 of the defenders on screen together, side to side, back to back, whatever, fighting crime. And Joe, it's going to be great. And The Defenders also comes out this year.
Yeah. Did you notice at the end of the trailer, we saw a familiar face?
Oh, yes. I love the...
She ties them all together.
She's literally... She is the Sam Jackson of that universe. And it's great.
She's the night nurse, man. She's bringing it all together.
The night nurse, dude. Yeah. That's awesome. But we have one more little story. Pandora, the world of Avatar, opening in May. Star Wars lands... is it part of the Star Wars lands? I guess in 2019, right?
Yeah.
During their quarterly earnings conference call on February 7th, CEO of the Walt Disney Company, Bob Iger, confirmed that Pandora, the world of Avatar, will officially open at Disney's Animal Kingdom on May 27th. In addition, Iger confirmed that the long gestating Star Wars lands at both Disneyland and Disney's Hollywood Studios are on target for a 2019 opening. Mm. Who else is going to Disney World in 2019?
Just around the corner. Just around the corner.
I think Joe will be going that way because he lives right next to it. That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's pretty funny because sometimes around like 9 o'clock at night, I can hear Magic Kingdom on the horizon at my house. It's actually a wonderful thing to be living that close to Walt Disney World that you hear and see fireworks.
In a few years, you're going to hear the chanting from Avatar. Yeah. And maybe a Chewbacca scream or two. So it's going to be great.
I'm really excited, though. I mean, I'm not so much excited about Pandora. I mean, I think when you ask about one of those things that Walt Disney creates, I'm sure it's going to be awesome when you walk in, you visually see the floating mountains and just the landscapes that they've created, which you're supposed to be walking on the ground and everything is illuminescent.
Cool.
So it's going to be really an interactive experience from beginning to end. And I can understand why it's taken so long to put together, because when you think about the bioluminescence and the luminescence that they've had to recreate, I'm just kind of scratching my head. How are they going to maintain this? You know? I think it's going to be awesome. And the Star Wars land, Hollywood Studios has been totally revamped. A third of the park is under construction right now. So if you're visiting Walt Disney World right now, I would definitely recommend maybe not spending a whole day at Hollywood Studios, but actually just doing some of the core rides and just bouncing out and going to another park, because half the park is under construction, basically. Everything from Backlot Tour to Star Wars Land is basically, they've gotten rid of Lights, Motor, Action, the Backlot Tour. Everything in the back is totally gone.
Is the Tower of Terror shut down yet or no?
It's still going. They haven't converted it to Guardians of the Galaxy yet. So.
Somebody, if you want to ride it, go ride it, because it won't be there very much longer.
Yep. Well, it's the only Tower of Terror, I think, left. I'm not sure about Hollywood Paris. I don't really have a thumb on the overseas parks. But anyway, moving along here. So we're officially going to go into the segment of the week, which is going to be really cool and retro. And so the way we've done this is we've actually let every person from PopX come up with their own top 10 list. Now, none of us actually cheated and looked at each other's. We've been, you know, pulling stuff from our childhood and from our past. And Austin, of course, wasn't growing up in the 80s, so we had to kind of give him a little bit of a bye. So we kind of let him go into the early 90s, but there's nothing wrong with that, okay?
I cheated.
He cheated. Well, he's well, you know, he's just a wee lad.
Well, and I'm kind of what would you call Lindsay's it, a crossover?
In the middle. You're right in the middle.
I wouldn't say a fence sitter per se, but I've got a little bit of 80 and a little bit of 90 mixed in there.
What's up, Stacy? Like, how are you doing, my dear?
Hey, Stacy. Welcome.
So we got to give a shout out. Stacy, Wagner, Zach, and Michael are hanging out with us tonight. And of course, Miss Stacy is a great friend and supporter of PopX. And so is Wagner. Wagner gave us a shout out earlier on his show.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
You rock, man. Thank you. So, all right. So moving along with the show here. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to go in reverse. So our number one, we'll give it to you last. Okay. So kind of building up, if you know, we're going from our least and we got our top 10. So we're going to just kind of go through this. So I am actually going to start, and then Austin, then Lindsay, then Mike. And so one of the shows that I remember when I'm thinking of 80s and I'm thinking of retro, and I don't know what it was about mechanical things that were artificially intelligent and enhanced. Like you think about Knight Rider, for example, you know, Michael Knight, and the car called Kit. I mean, everybody wanted that car, and especially with the thing in the front. It's like,
I still want that car.
Oh man, who doesn't want? I actually watched an episode of Comic Book Men recently, and this car pulled up in front of the store, and they got to have a ride. And it wasn't the original, but
it was
close enough.
It was 100% original, like cool. Replica, gosh. Replication. But, you know, David Hasselhoff, the black jacket, you know, the tight, skinny black jeans and all that stuff going on. It was a really interesting show for its time. And it kind of definitely was 80s, definitely spoke about how the 80s was entrapped in that artificial intelligence. I don't know what it was about computers speaking to you, but if you can get a computer to speak to you and interact with you, it was like the biggest thing in the 1980s.
Well, apparently it's circled back around, because right now it's the biggest thing in the world.
That is true.
Well, if we could just get Siri, if we can get Siri to say, sorry, let me search that. That would be
Siri
great.
Should be Knight Rider.
Siri's not Knight Rider. If Siri was Knight Rider, you would be ending up in a lake.
It's true.
But
right. We do still have, Google Home and Alexa and all that. And
we do. We're
constantly
we're
changing
there.
All that.
But I think at the end of the day, it was really cool. And it even influenced individuals like Steve Jobs. When Steve Jobs was getting ready to unveil the Apple II, what was the one thing he wanted before he came out on stage? He wanted the computer to say, good morning, Steve. And I think having that computer to talk to him, especially after the advertisements that he had rolled out. Remember the post-apocalyptic advertisements of the lady swinging the sledgehammer into the screen and exploding, and it's some kind of weird Ridley Scott production or something. It was that big thing, and I keep thinking about Knight Rider like that. It was a great show. Me and my father would sit down and watch it, and so that's pretty much my spiel on my number 10.
Nice,
that's awesome, man. So I know this is changing the tides a little bit, but let's talk about my number 10. Home Improvement. All right. You guys ever watched Home Improvement?
Oh, yeah.
The early days of Buzz Lightyear
were glorious, guys. I loved the chill nature of this show. Tim Taylor and Al made for an awesome on-screen duo. Their interactions were great. Whenever he would go to the fence and talk to them, I loved everything about this show. It may not be the best show on TV at the time, but it did a great job of launching Tim Allen's career. And for those reasons, I think it was a really good comedic show, but it also had, of course, the family values as well. And of course, it got Tim Allen, Santa Claus, and Buzz Lightyear, and all these things. So it wasn't the best show, but I really enjoyed it for the time. And we'll see if it holds up.
I always remember the neighbor over the fence. He's like,
dude, that was my favorite part of that show. That was you never saw his face.
You never saw his face. So just figured out.
Never saw his face.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool. And that show lasted for a really long time.
Yeah, it did longer than you would think.
Yeah,
for a show like that. So.
All right. Well, speaking of shows not lasting very long at all, The Dinosaurs is my number 10.
Good
pull. It's a little bit of a wild card, but I love the comedy of it. He's just basically this, you know, your typical happy family sitcom, but it's dinosaurs and it's all prehistoric and, you know, they have the
not
same
the
families
mama.
And
not the mama.
Yes. And that baby, it's like the baby Stewie of its time.
Yeah.
I think Stewie was probably inspired by the dinosaur baby. So
if you look, you got Peter Griffin, Lois.
Yep. Yeah.
Look at that. You got Chris.
It's pretty much. That's where the Family Guy came from.
Wow.
Except we're missing the mother-in-law was also in the show as well. And she was this grouchy old lady that never was approving of that or anything. So, and there was always the boss, because he was a construction worker and he had the lead guy, and that kind of turned a little bit Flintstone, if you remember to the old Flintstone cartoon. So yeah, not the mama. It was great though. It was a really fun show, and I wish it would have lasted a little bit longer, but it reminds me of that era.
I love that era. That was a great era, man. That takes me back.
It's good stuff.
All right, Mike, what's your number 10?
It's hard to pick.
I had you muted for a second. Sorry about that.
Oh, thanks.
Go ahead.
10 was hard. If we did top 50, I'd be all right.
I did the best I could.
I'm just going to go with, my number 10 was Airwolf.
Nice.
It was a great show. I mean, all my top tens could be my number ones, but I really, really enjoyed it. Something about, you know, the helicopter, and, you know, it was just pretty great show for its time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it leads into my number nine as well, Mike, because that actually is mine. It's Airwolf.
Aw, you guys are Twinkies.
We are Twinkies, Mike. Twinkies. Oh, my God, Mike. We're Twinkies. But, Mike, what was it about the helicopter, though, that just captivated you? Was it just the fact that it was stealthy and could – do you think that the helicopter was a character itself?
I would say it was.
I think it was.
To me, it just made the show. I mean, as experienced as the pilots were that could fly it, I mean, just the – just all the stuff that it had on it, you know, those cool helmets they wore and the tracking and all that kind of stuff.
Was it Ethan Hawke? Is that his name? What was his name? Hawke, wasn't it?
Stringfellow Hawke.
That's quite a name, Stringfellow.
Yeah, it's Native American, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. So Airwolf, I just remember me and my dad sitting in our little one single wide trailer back home in Southeast Kentucky in a trailer park in Neon, Kentucky, watching Airwolf air for the first time. And cool. It was truly in a magical moment, because I remember me and my dad watching this as father and son when it came on. It was great. That's all I got to say about it.
I've never watched that show, nor have I ever actually heard of that show, but you guys have intrigued me enough to go check it out. So it sounds pretty cool.
It's very 80s.
I've heard of the show. 80? I can't remember watching the show, but I do know the theme song. I do recognize the theme song. So it's in my gray area on the way curly side.
There's nothing wrong with something that is very 80s. Those are the best show,
yes,
guys.
It's definitely very.
But something else that I believe is very, maybe of its time, Saved by the Bell. All right? Don't you guys just love Zach Morris,
no,
and Slater?
Lisa, right, Turtle, you guys- Lisa Turtle and Kelly Kapowski, man. Come on.
Yeah,
I can probably sing you the entire theme song. I'm not going to, but I could.
But the show that centered around the six students at Bayside, guys, this show was fun. The trouble that they would cause was always fun. I watched reruns of this show when I was in high school, so it was very, I wouldn't say relatable to me, because I never really did anything that they did, but it's definitely a classic for me, and it's something that you go back and you watch for fun. Does it hold up today? I don't know. I've not watched it recently, but these are 80s and 90s shows. Hey, I have that shirt and that umbrella. So, I mean, don't worry, that all.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of people that are allowed to walk around with their shirt unbuttoned.
But you can. But look, his sleeves are rolled up.
Well,
yeah,
that matters.
That's when you would peg your jeans. I don't know if you know what that terminology is, but you would actually you would curl your jeans up, and then you would peg them, and you would roll them up, and it would be like that. If you pegged your jeans in the 90s. You were like boom sauce. I mean, it was like on like Donkey Kong. Because I mean, one, if you were rocking the Calvin Kleins or the Guess, and they were pegged, done. You done.
I was the exact opposite. I was the JNCO jeans, as wide as you can get them and as low as you can get them.
Oh man! We really can't agree with Dustin Diamond's choice of career post Saved by the Bell.
No, we don't talk about that.
Let's just say that there's a lot of meat involved.
Good Lord.
He was a chef.
Good Lord.
Lindsay Batter.
Yes, well, my number 9 is actually the longest lasting live action sitcom on Fox, Married with Children.
Mm.
It's okay.
It's so good with you know, the clueless daughter that's super slutty, the little brother that's not really that little, and he's super dorky all the time, a little bit of a troublemaker. The wife is nothing but boobs and air in her hair.
Yes, then
you have the washed up football star, woman's shoe salesman that's always coming up with these silly antics that totally fail in this comedic sort of way that always, you know, it's just good stuff all the way around.
Yes, I remember watching this on Fox
so good.
Back in the day. And it was
Neighbors.
Oh, their neighbors were like on point. It was great. It was a good sitcom comedy, and I remember this. It was on Friday nights exclusively, and it would kind of lead into, or was it Sunday nights? And it would lead into The Simpsons and their whole big night of
cool
entouraging shows. Very cool stuff there. So, Mike, what is your number 9, my friend? You're muted, Mike.
Mike. Sorry,
it's okay.
A lot going on here. I'm trying.
It's okay, man.
You're doing great.
You're doing good, man.
My number 9 is going to be another helicopter show. It lasted for only a season, but it was based on a movie, Blue Thunder.
Get to the chopper.
Oh, yeah. I remember Blue Thunder.
It was a really, really good show. I mean, I loved the movie, and then once the show came out.
Ooh, is that the guy from Police Academy?
It is.
It is.
Yes.
What was his name? It. Oh, his name was like Recharge or something. He had some kind of funny name on Police Academy. Oh, shoot, it'll come back to me.
I want to go watch. I want to go watch that movie now.
Oh man,
also had one of Dana Carvey's early roles.
Dana Carvey. Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
that's awesome.
It is. I didn't even recognize him.
In the words of Dana Carvey doing Johnny Carson, I did not know that.
Good pool.
Yes,
I like that.
You like that. So you got to be a nerd to really get along with me. So Hightower.
Yes.
I think it's because he was tall like a tower.
He's tall like a tower. Now, Mike, before you go back into slideshow world, I'm seeing a pattern here. We got Airwolf and Blue Thunder. I wonder if that would have led to your career as a Delta mechanic.
No, that was actually before I thought of that.
That's awesome.
All these shows were before I thought
of that.
I think,
honestly, a seed was planted very early on watching Mr. Hawk in Airwolf and seeing Blue Thunder. And I think it he's like, you know what? One day I'm going to fly one of these things.
Helicopter awesome. Won't fly.
I would fly. But you would fly Airwolf.
Probably.
Okay. All right. That's what I'm saying. All right. So leading into my number three, we're up to number three now. And so Quantum Leap.
Number eight.
Or number eight. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm going in reverse. You guys are going.
We're time traveling.
We are time traveling.
Which makes sense with Quantum Leap.
Now, this show was one of those shows. Now, I caught the reruns. I didn't actually catch the live airings as they came out on NBC. Yeah. But this show was one of the shows that literally helped me through high school and through parts of college. Just watching, you know, Sam and Al and Gushy, which is his little thing. He would help him go back and between times and stuff. A great show. He got to be so many iconic people and do so many cool things in his many years. And I remember actually watching the finale of Quantum Leap on television when it aired. So I had caught up to the actual live show and was able to watch the finale of the entire series.
That's cool.
It was really neat. It was really cool. And awesome. It was a great show. If you've never seen Quantum Leap, it was definitely...
That's definitely the one. I remember watching the reruns of this show, and I was totally hooked on it. It was like, you know, during the summer, during the daytime, they would play that as the reruns, like probably after Dukes of Hazzard or something.
Yeah.
And I was totally locked into it. I loved the relationship the two main characters had, and then all of the different places they went. It was just totally... If you like Doctor Who or anything in that realm...
Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap's all
and
you.
It was stand up no matter what.
Oh,
what
yeah.
era you watch. You can watch it today and it will make sense. But Austin, what's your number?
My brain hurts. Yes. Because I know I've seen this show. I know I have, but I couldn't tell you what it's about. But I know I've seen it before. So that's another thing that I'm going to have to... God, you guys are killing me.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures.
Okay. But okay. That's cool. That's awesome. And it does have a Doctor Who kind of look to it with the whole time travel, space time continuum thing. So it seems like it's something that's really, really cool. So guess what? Another situational comedy on my list, Family Matters. guys, I don't know what it is about this show. It's probably Urkel. I think that's what it is. Or the fact that the Winslows are a very likable family. But this one just...
I want to tell you, man, Laura Winslow was kind of hot. Laura Winslow was hot. I mean,
she's still hot. All right, still hot. This show, man, just whether it's the dad or the mom, or I loved this family, and I always like kind of related to the stuff that was going on in their lives. And I think Urkel is flat out hilarious. Once again, probably doesn't hold up today, but when I watched this show, I cracked up every time he was on screen. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he grew up to be he's kind of buff and he's a good looking guy in real life, but separate his real life from his character on his show. The guy's a pretty good actor. Yeah. All right. You got to give him that.
Jaleel White. Yeah.
Yeah, man. He's a good actor. Yeah, so, this was one of those shows, man. It got me every time I watched it and I loved it.
All right. Lindsay Badger, what's yours?
All right. My number eight is Sister, Sister.
Sister, Sister.
Sister, Sister. Oh. Yeah. It's basically the modern day version of Parent Trap.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have the single mom that has a twin, and you have this higher class-ish, upper middle class-ish dad with the other twin, and they randomly meet in a mall because in the 90s, that's where you go. Yeah. And they end up moving in together, and there's, you know, it's just dealing with life as teenagers and twins. And
there was
a thing
in the mall called a record store.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go and you actually buy...
It was CDs in my day, but
yeah. What are you saying? What are you saying, Lindsay Badger? Am I more of a 33 or a 45 long play? I don't know.
All right, depends on the day.
Sister, Sister, though. This was one I actually caught a couple of times and watched. Definitely catered to the female crowd.
It was definitely a younger female.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, was me. I liked it.
As you, girl. Oh, you so sweet.
All right, so where are we at? We're with Mikey here. He's getting ready to unveil his number.
All right. My next one is going to be another short-lived series, but I found it very interesting and intriguing, was Manimal.
Now, this is the guy that actually could transform into any animal, right?
That's cool.
It was, that was it was quite amazing. The special effects for the time, I guess, of the 80s were, you know, made the show pretty interesting. So I got really into it. But it was another short-lived series. I think it was only like a season or two at the most.
Yeah.
But it was a cool concept, and it was one of those shows I enjoyed.
I vaguely remember this show, and it kind of stemmed from Michael Jackson's in Thriller, when he's transforming into the wolf. It kind of stems from that.
Yes.
Because
cool.
I can't remember. They actually used a couple of the Hollywood artists. I remember a story on this somewhere in Fangoria magazine. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know. I read a lot of random crap. I'm sorry. But I remember that they actually were using some of the directors and some of the special effects makeup artists for this show. And it was one of the most costly shows produced at the time because of the visual effects, which wasn't CGI.
And oh, wow.
I think that's one of the reasons why it was, after one season, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what the like American Werewolf in London type thing.
Yeah.
That kind of
That's cool.
Effect.
Yep. That's awesome. That's
pretty cool.
Yeah. So moving on with my, I guess this would be my number seven. Yeah. So another one of my shows, Mr. Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver, the dude can take duct tape, a paper clip and some toilet paper and make a bomb.
That mullet though.
Oh my God. I was looking at pictures of Richard Dean Anderson recently and I'm like,
he's hot.
Richard Dean, he's MacGyver, you know. I'm like, what happened to
him? Oh my gosh.
But anyway, I digress. Getting back to MacGyver, it was a great show. I remember MacGyver's vile enemy Murdoch he had several instances on the show where he would just infiltrate the show and just throw MacGyver totally off his game. And very cynical, very evil individual. So he was thrown off a cliff, blown up, shot, scarred. I mean, poor Murdoch was just thrown through the ringer. But Richard Dean Anderson at the helm of it. Now, we did get a MacGyver spinoff last year. I think that wasn't renewed for a second season.
Hope not.
It was pretty bad from what I recall.
It's a really bad first impression if it's the only thing you've seen of MacGyver.
It kind of goes to show you that MacGyver in its true form is timeless, but MacGyver does not translate as well into a modern technological society where you can use simple things and applications like duct tape. And it's just, no, we just go, hey, Google, how do I fix my plumbing in my house?
Let's look that up on YouTube.
So, but it's
there you go.
MacGyver,
there you go.
MacGyver will always be one of my favorite shows. Awesome.
Yeah, dude. MacGyver's awesome, and it came very close to being on my list. If I would have seen more episodes, it definitely would have been on mine. But my next entry on this list is All That. You guys ever seen All That? Mm-hmm. This is the sketch comedy that was basically the Saturday Night Live for the teensies and the tweensies. And
yes, it was.
I mean, I still like it today. All right, and I ate this show up. It had Nick Cannon, Amanda Bynes, Kenan and Kel, and it showed off all the best Nickelodeon stars. And I go back and I'll watch the Hillbilly Moment, you know, all these sketches.
I think Gabriel Iglesias was on one of those seasons too.
Was he really? I could see it. The stars in these shows went on to become pretty big. So it was a really good show.
Kenan Thompson is a continuing player for the past six seasons of SNL.
And it's like they start at All That and then they graduate to SNL and then they graduate to other things even bigger than that. It's like
I love it. I think it's great.
Oh, it's definitely
that's a good
awesome.
Pull, man. That's a good pull.
Yes.
Lindsay Badger.
All right. Well, my number seven, we're going to bring it back girly again, guys. Just hold on and bear with me. Number seven is Clarissa Explains It All. Our favorite girly Nickelodeon. Sitcom. Well, it wasn't really a sitcom, I guess. But basically, it was her doing the monologues and then interacting with her school friends about school issues and you know, just kind of being the pre-adolescent challenges the kiddos face and all that stuff. But it, I related to it whenever it was on. So
Melissa,
it was
Melissa Joan Hart, right?
Yep, Melissa Joan Hart. Yeah, oh, wow. She after that, she went and did Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, which is
cool,
similar but with magic, and a talking cat. And I did watch that show too, but I didn't think we needed to put both of them on the list. So we'll just slide that one right in there on the list too. But yeah, I appreciated that. Definitely was relatable for my age at the time.
All right. So Mike, awesome. Going through your list here. Where are we at?
There we go.
All
right. This is my next one is going to be when we first got cable. When cable was new, I was exposed to one of the greatest shows I couldn't stop watching, which is Doubleday.
Oh, with Mark Summers.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I love Doubleday. Family Doubleday.
I couldn't wait
who wanted to go down the mouth? With
I wanted to do it all. I wanted to do
That's
it
awesome.
All. I wanted to go through the big like thing that you go through. Never mind.
You know what I liked better than Double Dare? Family Double Dare.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Family Double Dare. Yeah.
You're going to dig in the ooze to get all the flags out and all that. Yeah.
You know what was hilarious? Is that families that were on Double Dare, they would win a trip to Walt Disney World or to Universal. It was filmed at Universal Orlando.
Yes.
Really?
So they even told you so at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then
just walk outside. So
I'm just like, oh. Look, Mom and Dad, we just want a trip back to Orlando.
Nickelodeon was filmed at the beautiful Orlando Resort. Yeah, Universal Orlando Resort.
And
I missed that show by weeks when they finally it went off the air, when they were filming it down there. My first trip to Universal, I missed it by weeks when it was closing.
Oh.
And it was like probably about 3 or 4 weeks that I went down to Universal and they had just closed it up.
Yeah, and I think we've mentioned this in previous episodes before too. Is that they don't do anything really Nickelodeon there anymore?
No.
It's definitely not. And Mike, did you get to see the slime fountain?
Yes,
you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's where the Blue Man Theater is now.
Blue Man took it over.
So I realized that we looked down. And I was like, "Oh crap! It's 10 o'clock." But we're going to go over about 10 minutes this week, so just bear with us as we get through the rest of our lists. But these are some fun stuff, and we're really, really fortunate that you guys are hanging out with us and enjoying the show along with us and reminiscing about some retro 80 things. Mm-hmm. But my next on my list, and this will be my number 6, is My Secret Identity. And this show was great. I mean, it was one of the shows where you were a kid, and you had this nutty professor. I don't want to say nutty, but he was kind of funny and quirky and out there. And he was involved, the individual, the secret of the show, he was involved in an experiment that gave him superpowers. So he could speed up and he could run fast. He could fly and he could do all sorts of things. He had, to some extent, some superhuman strength. And it was really an interesting show because, you know, me being a big comic book nerd and reading comics at the time, I was just like, holy cow, this is like right up. And it was Jerry O'Connell, a very young Jerry O'Connell.
And that's awesome.
So it was really interesting seeing that. And I only think it lasted for like 2 or 3 seasons, but it's definitely on my radar. It was a Saturday morning show. So it would come on right after the cartoons because cartoons were usually cut off around 10 or 10:30. Mm-hmm. And then it went into the live action shows like Power Rangers and My Secret Identity. And
Welcome, Power Rangers.
I mean, you just look at the logo. You can just tell it screams 80s.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Something else that just screams of its time, but it's absolutely timeless at the same time. That didn't make sense. The Incredible Hulk. Look, listen, this is some people that... Image is amazing. But some people look upon this show as cheesy. And while it might be a little cheesy compared to today's Hulk, it's the launching pad for the great superhero shows that we have today. It told a compelling story of the Hulk. Bill Bixby, this dude is an American icon, okay? He is unreal, and he was phenomenal in this part. And for a long time, he was my Hulk. He was my man when it came to that character. Yeah. So... I just thought the writing was great. I still go back and I'll watch the show every now and then. I thought the Incredible Hulk movie was really good. I just liked everything about this show, especially when you got four on the, just all the stuff that they did was really cool for the time. And it was kind of like a launching pad for TV shows and for Marvel. Yeah. So that's the reason why I love it so much.
And there'll never be another human to play the Incredible Hulk like there was with Lou Ferrigno.
No, sir. Lou Ferrigno.
And Wagner over in the chat said that was his favorite show in the 80s as well.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, you're definitely great. Hitting some home runs. Lindsay Badger, Richard number six.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys right now, from here on out, we're going to do a whole lot of repeating because Austin and I apparently watch the same shows all the time. So we're only going to keep this one pretty quick. Family Matters is my number six. I love Carl and all of his family. And Urkel, of course, is my number one favorite of the whole show. I think he's what kind of kept it going over the years. I just have good childhood memories of my brother acting out Urkel constantly, and it was good times, so it had to be on the list.
So it's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper
page.
But love the tradition of the grand design. Some people say it's even hard to find.
Everywhere.
I'll shut up rather.
Yep. So we'll just lay it right there, and it's a great show. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you need to. It's got the good feels.
Oh my gosh.
Laura freaking Winslow. All right, Mike, what's yours, man? What's your number six, my friend?
All right, my next one is going to be my first exposure to superhero was Greatest American Hero.
Oh, nice.
Oh my, that juice. Nice. Though.
Yeah.
That leotard, dude.
Whoa.
Wow.
Some
we had.
That's great.
Yeah. The 80s called and they want their superhero back.
holy curly superhero back.
But and just like I said, this is my first exposure to, I guess, any kind of superheroes on TV before Arrow and Flash and, you know, what we're watching now. But that's kind of how I kind of got into the superhero thing, you know, before I got into Marvel, DC, there was this show, which I, you know, found very entertaining.
It was a good launching platform to things to come, I think, honestly. Yeah. It was a great show. All the cheesiness and campiness aside, it was a great show, and it lasted.
Yeah.
It did not last. Yeah. Awesome, man. I totally forgot about that show. Wow. Wow. Now I want that on my list. Can I take one off and put that on there? Anyway. So
moving, after the show, you can
swap. Okay, sweet. So my next one is actually one that was started, if you remember, and you were around in '87, '88, '89, ABC launched a Friday night television extravaganza called TGIF. And, you know, it's Friday night, going to have some fun, TGIF. Anyway, so TGIF would launch with Family Matters and go into Boy Meets World. Other shows were a part of that whole thing, the lineup. And then, of course,
Sister Sister was on there too somewhere.
Sister Sister, and also Perfect Strangers was one of the opening shows.
Oh, right. Oh, I remember these guys.
Balki Baltakamos. I am Balki. Balki Baltakamos.
Those two were funny.
Oh,
I loved them.
I mean, those two guys had great chemistry. Honestly, it was a show that, to me, is timeless comedy. There's so many things I can remember about these two trying to. There was one scene where they're trying to get a grand piano up a staircase, and the whole episode is about how they're going to figure out how to get a grand piano up there, up on their.
That's awesome.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, it was amazing, and
these two almost look like brothers a little bit.
Yeah,
well, they technically, yeah.
The photo though is kind of.
Well, they were technically cousins in the show.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, wow. They were technically distant cousins by some kind. But anyway, it was interesting because we had Americanism versus wherever Balki was from, which was some kind of foreign country and like Slavic. I don't know what his language lingo was, but it was interesting. But Perfect Strangers will always be in my heart. Thank you.
That's
so
awesome.
Much.
Good pick. I like that.
All right.
Well, my number, I guess this is five, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Boy Meets World. Look, guys, I'm a man, all right, but I appreciate a good love story. Corey and Topanga.
Topanga.
Topanga and her hair.
Yeah, I had many nights with sweat on my brow with Topanga. Oh, my God.
Oh, buddy.
My God.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
Christ.
ways.
Still nice. All right. Anyway, yeah. Well, the show itself is a story.
Ego.
It's a story about a boy who has to grow up and face a ton of problems while managing to fall while trying to manage falling in love with a girl. It's hashtag relatable. It's great when you're growing up, especially when you're in high school. You can just watch it and wish your life was going in that direction, but it really wasn't because I was a nerd. There was a lot of good things in the show, but the thing that everyone remembers most is the relationship between Cory and Topanga. And, you know, now they have the sequel series, Girl Meets World, and apparently that's successful as well. So
I thought it got canceled.
Did it get canceled? It was success. I know it went for like 3 seasons, maybe?
I think it got canceled.
But it might have gotten canceled after that. But for a while, it was getting a lot, not a lot, but a little bit.
Wasn't
of
there like
Disney.
A little bit of a love triangle going on with them for a while or something? I don't know.
Yeah, there was just a lot of relationship
He's
stuff.
So dramatic.
It's pretty high on my list for that. But
what do you expect when you get a bunch of kids that are 16, 17 years old around each
hormones.
Other acting at every single day in their company? Mm-hmm. There's going to be some shenanigans going on. You know?
Yes, yep, absolutely. Yep. Lots of shenanigans.
All right. All right. Well, good times with all of that. Speaking of all that, that's my number five.
That's
segue.
Wow.
That's my number five. And you guys, my favorite skit of this show, I know Austin, we talked about this a little bit earlier with the different people that are on the show, but my favorite all-time skit from that show is Good Burger.
Oh, Good Burger. Yeah.
Welcome to the Good Burger, home of Good Burger. Can I take your order?
That's so good.
I mean, they got a whole movie based off of that skit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's horrible. It's a horrible movie.
That's terrible.
But they got one. I mean, yeah.
It's kind of like the SNL movies.
Power of how good they work together. And I know that they did a bunch of different skits together on that mm-hmm. show that were just magic.
Yeah.
You awesome. Know, and Nick Cannon is also another big name that came off of there that did a lot of really good stuff too. And I know you mentioned Amanda Bynes, too. And I think she's just disappeared. Where the heck did she go?
Gone.
A lot of good memories. I want to go back and watch some of the reruns and get some good laughs. That's good. And That's remember. Good. Remember back.
Remember when. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember when.
So, leading us into Mike, what is yours as well?
All right. As Lindsay and Austin are going to have about the same ones, I think we're going to kind of almost start having the same ones soon.
Yeah.
You've been warned.
I'm just going to kind of breathe through this one. So I'm going to go with one of yours, Joe, with Knight Rider.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Yeah. Look at that 80s tux in that hair.
Oh,
dude.
Man.
He's got a fresh perm. Yeah.
I mean, you got to love the car and just everything that it can do. Even so, it wasn't really realistic. It was, you know. It was great for the times.
I can't disagree. And just look at the console on the front of that car. I mean, every button does something.
Did Knight Rider and Baywatch cross over at all?
No.
Oh, they should.
I didn't
have,
think
though.
So. No. I know that was his next thing.
There's a big gap in years.
No, but strangely enough, Mr. Hasselhoff is really popular in Germany with his electronic
music. Mm-hmm. Very.
I just can't wrap my head around that one. So we're moving in. We're hitting the home stretch, guys, and we want to thank you guys so much for tuning in as we're extending a little bit on PopX this week. So my number four would be one of the greatest shows I think ever to come out of the 80s, and that is Alf.
Alf.
Mm-hmm. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
It was so popular, he got a cartoon show, too.
He did. Awesome. He got his own cartoon show. He had his own 18-inch plush doll that you could buy in the department store. Notice I said department store.
There was no online stores.
There was no online stores. There was no Supercenter Walmarts. It was a department store. And
you went to Penny's.
Yes. Yes. We went to Sears. We went to Rose's. I don't know if you had a Rose's. But
Wagner says no, not Alf.
Yes, aww. Wagner, there will be Alf. For me, growing up as a child of the 80s, very young, I think Alf came out in like 86, 87. It was just one of those shows that really just captured my heart. You had this character you never had seen before on television. And it was just really awesome. It was a cool storyline. How does an alien interact with an 80s family? it was very interesting and unique. And to this day, I think the stories and just the comedic parts and properties of the show stand out. I know it's cheesy. I know it's campy. And it might not be somebody's top 10 list. But for me, in my childhood and where I was at as a child growing up at that period, Alf was definitely in my top five.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And moving on to something that as a child really affected me, even though it might be one of the cheesiest shows of all time. It's actually the definition of cheese. Full House. Look, the audience, Oz, the dialogue, the hugs, it's just so of its time. But I grew up with Full House. This was the on-screen family that I related to most. I can't help to put this on the list and put it so high because I just liked watching the adventures of the Tanner sisters. Is that weird? I like seeing what the family went through. I thought Joey was one of the funniest dudes on television, and I thought Uncle Jesse was one of the coolest cats in town, you know what I mean? But this family was just awesome, and no matter how crazy things were off screen, the show itself was really good, and it was popular enough to get Fuller House, which is even cheesier than the original show.
Yeah. Cut it out.
Yes.
But it's awesome. I love it.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, my number four, we're going to do repeat again. Home Improvement.
Rock on, sister.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah.
The number one heartthrob of his time when he was on this show. Yeah. All the girls were bonkers, just like the Justin Bieber. Mad crazy. Now, I wasn't super into it, but I thought he was kind of cute. I was more into the comedy part. Like, I loved, you know, the backdoor Wilson. You can only see like that much.
So J-double-T was your bag of sugar, right?
He was on the like the top 10 list. I don't think he was like number one, but he was up there. But yeah, you gotta watch him for the hotties, right? Hey, Austin's got the Tanner sisters. I can have JTT.
You can, you know. Yeah, we'll give you that.
All right, Mikey.
It's one of my favorite science fiction, longest running for me for 7 years was Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, sir.
Nice. Sir.
That was when the CW used to be UPN. They used to show this. It was on for a long 7 years, and I just barely missed the original series, and then once this started and kind of led into the rest of Deep Space Nine, Voyager, but this is kind of what started it for me for the Star Trek. You know, got me into the movies and then one of the future shows.
Nice. I was reading an article, and this will coincide with because Star Trek is on my list, in my top five, but you know that Patrick Stewart changed the way Americans said the word data. Because up until 1989, everyone said data.
Yeah.
But when Patrick Stewart started saying data, everybody, American-wise, began saying data as data because of Data the character.
Does anyone else struggle with Lamar not singing Butterfly in the Sky?
I can fly twice as high. Just take a look.
I mean, there's Reading Rainbow. You just can't separate the two. And actually, they did an episode on Reading Rainbow about the makeup for Next Generation. So
that's
it was
awesome.
A crossover of awesomeness, but I still can't separate.
And there was also a crossover with Mr. Rogers and the Incredible Hulk, where Mr. Rogers went on the set and met Lou Ferrigno.
Whoa, I didn't even know that. That's awesome. I'm going to have to check that out.
All right, so getting back to Mike, I couldn't agree more. Star Trek The Next Generation, holy cow. Yeah. And we'll talk more about it here shortly, but definitely a good pull, my friend. For me, my are we on number three now? I think Doogie Howser, M.D. A young Neil Patrick Harris.
That's great.
Just
look how little he is. He's so cute.
I know. This was one of the first things I learned to play on the piano was the Doogie Howser M.D. theme song. You know, da 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 da. Anyway,
it's cool.
I'm not going to do it, but it was so cool because I remember at the end of every episode, Doogie would find a quiet time, go to his computer, and do a journal about his day that he just had. And some of his journals were very heart-wrenching about his reflections on society and what he was seeing from the eyes of him and being just a child genius prodigy.
How old do you think he was, character-wise?
I think he's like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very young.
That's pretty young, me. Yeah. Seeing what he's
a tween teen. Yeah, that age.
Awesome, Burke.
All right, so this one's kind of a cheat because it was late 90s, but Seinfeld! It's crazy!
Hey!
Hey, man!
What's in those chicken nuggets?
Airline food!
Hey!
This show is kind of, it's making a little bit of a resurgence now because it got on Hulu and it got super popular again, and now all the teens and tweens of this generation is watching it. But it's considered by many to be like the best comedy of the 90s. The writing, the jokes, the situational comedy, they made the smallest things an episode, the tiniest little things, the theme of an episode.
Oh.
I found that as genius. I think it's one of the funniest shows ever. And all four of these guys you see in this picture, well, two or three out of the four became like comedy legends. All right. These guys are still doing comedy today. Love the show. Love the actors. And Seinfeld's great, guys. I love it.
And we got the soup Nazi. Thanks to Seinfeld.
Oh, man. That's the best. It's my favorite episode.
No soup.
So basically what you're saying is Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada. Awesome.
It's a show.
Crazy.
It's about nothing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But I digress.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll go from New York all the way to West Philadelphia.
Yeah, born and raised.
Where Will Smith was born and raised in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Man, this show is so good. So good. He just picks on his poor rich cousins that are just clueless and dorky, and it's amazing. And it's, you know, you get the family good feels, but you also get the urban pulled in, because everything at that time era was just urban this. Everybody wanted to bring that flavor into every show. So he definitely rocked that. Plus he was super famous before being a rapper. So you got that pull into that too. So, I mean, it's goofy.
Yeah,
outfits. Oh Lord, those outfits. They were so bright and shiny.
And you know, actually Family Matters was to be the culprit for introducing African-American culture into sitcom culture.
Yes.
And Family Matters was a kind of that catapult platform. Mm-hmm. So we got shows like Fresh Prince.
In Living Color.
Martin.
Martin.
So we got all these great shows that are just spawned from that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a good one. I enjoyed it.
Mikey, what's your number three, my friend?
All right, I'm going to go with another one that's kind of came off your list a little bit, which was a kind of special show for me because it was something I shared with my dad. You know, we enjoyed watching. It was Alf. Since we kind of talked
Alf
about it already.
Yeah.
So it was something that we kind of connected watching together. And, you know, and I know with years ago, that was with being such a big thing between the plush. They actually had the Alf telephone.
They did.
And that was something I bought for my dad for his birthday. So he loved it and he used it. And so we had good times watching that show.
How about this, Mike? How about the whole show tonight we dedicate to your father?
Aw, I love that.
Yeah,
man,
I like
so
it. Dedicated to your father and his memory. And I never got to meet him, but my God, it sounds like somebody I would have just totally got along with. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome show, man. Awesome pull. That's great. So, guys, we are entering our number two, our top two. And so we are getting down to the nuts and bolts, the nitty gritty, the grits and cheese, the shrimp, and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So my number two is actually Star Trek The Next Generation. And this is, for me, my dad is a Trekkie, and I could not wait till Saturday night. Getting in front of the television, mom would pop some popcorn and make a little finger tray or whatever you wanted to call it. And we would sit down and watch Star Trek as a family. And it was one of those shows where they didn't have to use profanity or swearing or nudity or anything. Of course, none of that's going to be on in like 1990 anyway. But this show is timeless and was just done amazing. And one of the greatest things I think I've ever seen Gene Roddenberry do. And he pretty much he relaunched and reinvented the entire Star Trek genre because of this show. And I just have so many great memories of me and my dad sitting there. What's going to happen with Q? You know, is Q coming back? We were always waiting for Q to Q was the big enemy on the show. So great stuff.
Well, Joe, from one Star Trek lover to another, my number two is Star Trek: The Next Generation.
What I consider a triple play, boys.
Triple the Star Trek guys. I love it. Jean-Luc Picard.
Thank you so much.
Dude, he is the captain of all captains. And a lot of people who argue that he is better than Captain Kirk. Listen, I'm not. I still like Captain Kirk, but I'm not going to argue with that because this guy is phenomenal. The show was full of adventure, drama, fun. And it's just one of those shows that with the fun also comes great acting, great dialogue, great showrunner, and the stories were always good every single episode. And it didn't have a lot of filler. That's one thing that I think shows today do a lot of filler episodes, but every show in this series mattered. I'm a huge Trekkie, and like everybody else here, I watched Star Trek The Next Generation with my dad. He's a huge Star Trek fan. This is his favorite show, I believe, of all time, because he's seen every single episode. And the first time I ever saw it was with him, and we watched all the first couple seasons together. So it provides for some great memories. Guys.
Man, I guess my dad just wasn't into Star Trek because I didn't get to watch The Next Generation, but I do highly appreciate Star Wars franchises. Voyager and Deep Space Nine are my jam.
Yeah,
it's not that I hate the other ones. Those are the ones that I committed to and saw all the way through. So I'm a Trekkie, just of a different variety.
Yes, that's nothing wrong with that.
No, no, no.
All right.
Let's see. What number are we on?
Two.
Number two. We're going to bring it back to Full House.
Girl. Yeah.
Yes, we got to bring it back to Full House because we love it. Uncle Joey.
Yeah. It's my boy.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally amazing.
So funny.
I loved him because, I mean, even when, you know, Danny wasn't around, he kind of played the dad role.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they all kind of took turns playing the dad role, but I think he kind of solidified that a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More than Danny Tanner and his thing of Lysol.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, as the family grew, I mean, in this picture, this is like multiple seasons after the beginning because, you know, Uncle Jesse got married and they moved in and they built their house on top. And, I mean, it just kind of grew and grew and grew. And, I mean, your heart kind of grows as you're basically a part of this family as it grows, too. So whenever the show ended, I was like, oh, my God, survive, you guys. But, life moved on. I'm still living. And then, you know, we've got a whole new revamp to keep tabs on now too. So that brought some good feels.
My favorite Full House episodes was when they visited Disney World.
Nice.
Oh, of course.
Remember that.
Of course. Of course.
All right. We are back with Mike Ippolito for his number two.
All right. I'm going to go with my, one of my top two favorites here is one that was on Sunday nights, 8 o'clock on NBC, that it was my go-to show on Sundays, was Amazing Stories. Steven Spielberg produced show. I mean, this was, I think the show was about an hour, and it was broken up into 15-minute segments of just little short stories. And every week was a different story. And it was one of my favorite weekend shows to catch. You know, this was days before the DVR. We had to actually watch live TV. I was in front of the TV on Sunday nights, 8 o'clock. Catch this show. This was, you know,
that show had so much meaning in 1 hour.
Yeah. Yes.
It was amazing. One of the shows that stands out was the old man waiting for the train to come in his front of his house. You remember that episode?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God, I get chills thinking about it. I mean, he was waiting for his death, and it is a train. It was beautifully done. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. You could see Spielberg's hand in that show, and every single, you could see just his touch, right?
Yeah,
and it was great.
His essence. So, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well done, Mikey. Well, guys, we have officially made it to our top one. The number one of our list. We thank you guys for, you're getting kind of an extra treat. You're getting a bonus tonight. You're getting 30 minutes extra PopEx. So you know what? Yeah. Just enjoy it. So
we missed you on Sunday. So we wanted to spend a little more time.
We missed you on Super Bowl Sunday. So we figured, what the heck? So The Incredible Hulk is my number one and will forever be my number one. If you know anything about me, you know that I'm a huge Incredible Hulk fan. That he is a part of my life wherever I go, and that I'm always connected to the Incredible Hulk. It's an amazing thing for me because I remember as a child sitting in many situations watching Lou Ferrigno just Hulk out and just wanting to be that and just wanting to feel what that feels like. And in the eyes and the minds of a 7 and 8 year old, you know, boy growing up in the '80s, I don't know. I can't even explain it, but it was just one of those moments that just really catapulted me into the man I've become today. Even today, mm-hmm. as a 37-year-old man, I still find myself collecting things of Incredible Hulk, not just things of this era, but things of the 70s and 80s in which I grew up. And it's truly awesome. And Incredible Hulk was just an amazing show. I can't.
Childhood magic, man.
It's childhood magic. And it did change the course in which my life actually progressed. That's and awesome. in a good way. Because of this show.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, my number one is the greatest show ever made. Not really, but The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I've seen every episode at least twice. I actually watched parts of season 5 again last week. So when this topic came up, I'm like, oh my goodness, I know which one's going to be my number one. Will Smith has always been one of my favorite actors. The show proves why. He's funny. The writing is smart. The fact that he breaks the fourth wall every few episodes is great. It's not the most rewatching it. It's not the most technically sound show. There's one or two shots where maybe the mic was in the camera, you know, stuff like that. But I still love it. It holds a special place in my heart. Carlton and his famous dance. Every time it comes on, I do it with him, no matter who's in the room with me. It's my favorite. It's my favorite sitcom of the 80s and 90s and one of my favorite sitcoms ever. It's so good, guys. And it's just a triumph in sitcoms. And I love it. I love everything about it. So that's my number one.
It's good. It's a good pull, man.
It just catapulted his success, too. I mean, he's still just killing it to this day.
He's Deadshot, right?
So that's he's Deadshot.
Yeah, totally. Oh, my goodness. All right. So my number one is when you wake up in the morning. And the alarm starts hollering, you know, Saved by the Bell. So this show is kind of like the next level up from Clarissa Explains It All whenever you're talking about, like, kids and dealing with issues and at school, personal growth and all that stuff. I mean, it dealt with hard stuff like bullying, drugs, eating disorders. What? All kinds of serious topics, and then kind of made it a little bit lighter so you can deal with it and kind of, you know, I appreciated that part. Because, I mean, it's fun to have a silly show, but it's also good to have some of those darker moments addressed too so that you can, you know, feel comfortable talking about that stuff if you are dealing with that. But it kind of brings a little bit of a reality to teenage years are tough.
Yeah.
General.
Yes, ma'am.
And there's lots of good stuff too, like, you know, running for class president and cheerleading and being the class clown and doing pranks and that kind of stuff. But there's also serious stuff too that,
well, you know, said, well,
even
said,
on
preppy.
TV they have to deal with. So I that's why I put that at my number one, because it gets the real feels.
well said, preppy.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mike, you are leading out the final number one of the night. What do you got for us?
All right, well, I'm going to close out with during the 80s when the UK was broadcasting Doctor Who, we had our American version, which was already said, and we're going to go with Quantum Leap.
Nice, nice.
This show was, you know, one of my favorites, and I think that's kind of what got me into Doctor Who now, kind of like, watching these old shows over again. I have all 5 seasons. Since they weren't available on Blu-ray, I just had them on DVD, but to watch it. And back in the 80s, I really wasn't into Doctor Who. I really didn't know much about it until, you know, recently. That kind of, you know, this show led me into, you know, getting into Doctor Who now. So, but, you know, that would be my, I think it was on either, I can't remember, I think it was Friday nights. Time for Dr. Sam Beckett, and quantum physicist.
Yeah.
And it was just, just the travel and to be in all those different bodies. And my one of my favorite episodes where he comes back as himself as a young kid.
I remember that one. Favorites.
Wow.
I also remember one, too, that changes. Actually touched me was he went into the body of a mentally handicapped individual. Do you remember that one? He was
vaguely.
I think he had Down syndrome. I
remember the whole episode.
Yeah. It's very cool. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting how they wrote that. Wow, Mike. Good pull, my friend. Good pull. Sometimes you just want to be like gushy and being, you know, get with Ziggy and just merge the worlds and see where you can go into the multiverse. What a crazy show. Good show. Wagner over in the chat room says, where is Wonder Woman and where is the vintage Spider-Man show?
I did love the Spider-Man show. I did not even think about that.
The Spider-Man show was so cheesy, it actually smelled like fresh
so
brie.
So cheesy.
Yeah,
it smelled so cheesy.
You could even see the strings and the wires.
I'm just going to leave the Spider-Man show alone.
Yeah,
just leave that.
Just loved it.
I'm going to say it was really hard to not throw more cartoons into my list.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Nope.
Yep. Yeah. But if we were to have actually fast forwarded back to 10 years into the 70s and the late 70s, where Wonder Woman and Spider-Man would actually. All right, guys. So that is the show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this extended hour and a half special. As always, if you see something exciting on the shelves or at your local comic book shop or in theater and around geek culture in general, be sure to drop us a line and let us know on our social media using our hashtag YoPopX. If you use the hashtag, we could use your post and image on a future episode of PopX Live. So remember, hashtag YoPopX.
Mm-hmm. Also, guys, we are part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
Yes. And we also want to say follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, Pinterest. Of course, we're everywhere you can imagine, all at PopXCast. Email us popxcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from all of you amazing and faithful listeners and subscribers. Also, for future or past shows, check out our official website, www.popxcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And I am Austin Burke at the Burkinator. Guys, it's so good to be back. If you have any free time, go on YouTube, type in Austin Burke, where I do movie reviews and reactions, or not. It's your life, not mine.
He does good ones. You might want to check him out. It's all right. You can find me, Lindsay Badger, at LR Badger, pretty much anywhere all over the interwebs.
And I am Joe Burke, a.k.a. at Rotcav, ROTCAV on the internet. And, of course, hats off to the amazing Team PopX. As always, we got Mr. Austin Burke returning back from neither regions unknown. And we've got Lindsay Badger, who is a promoting Hulk.
Boom. I like that. Boom. It's a good nickname.
She, if it wasn't for her, PopX would not get out there. I write and script the shows, and she's pretty much the marketing promoter for PopX. So she's holding down the fort. And Mr. Mike Ippolito, not only did he do the slides tonight, but he was on cam sharing his top 10 tonight. And for being the creator and founder.
Oh, look at that.
I love his sign-offs.
Peter Capaldi.
Multitasking master.
Yes.
Mike, I love you, dude.
I love it when we have our team in full force. It just makes me happy. Yes.
And before we sign off, we want to thank our amazing listeners and watchers and viewers and interactees over on our popx.live chat room. We have Wagner and Stacy, and so many people have just hung out with us throughout the entire show.
That's awesome.
Thank you guys so much. And you know what? Please join us on our next episode, which will be this Sunday night. We're actually doing it, you know, quickly because we had Super Bowl. We'll be talking about the most beloved couples in comics.
That's great.
Perfect for Valentine's
so good.
Day.
Just
get
in
your
time
honey
for
and snuggle
Day.
Up and listen about all the comics.
Look at that. We got Sue and Ree Richards, Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson, Superman and Lois Lane, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. Guys,
what about Superman and Wonder Woman?
Ooh.
Can we do a triangle?
I don't know. After I've seen, I don't know. I don't want any one thing. I don't know. I'm going to go to my happy spot now. after all that, thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for downloading. We'll see you next week on episode number 48. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
From everyone at PopXcast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at PopXcast. Get your geek on.